Thank you. Be seated.
The court is ready to hear argument from petitioners in Estes versus Akins.
May it please the court, Mr. Scott Stowing will present argument for the petitioner Boy Scouts of America for 12 minutes, followed by Mr. Barry Peterson presenting argument for petitioner Golden Stretch Council Incorporated for 3 minutes. The Boy Scouts of America reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, I'm Scott Stowing, representing the Boy Scouts of America. With me today is Mr. Barry Peterson, who represents the Golden Spread Council, Incorporated. As a preparatory matter, I think it's important to distinguish the term Boy Scouts from the entities who are defendants in this case. I represent a corporation called the Boy Scouts of America, but I will use the term National Council to refer to my client. I may occasionally use the term local council to refer to Mr. Peterson's claim. In deciding whether the national council or the local council can be liable for the criminal conduct of the scoutmaster, I think it's important for this court to understand the purpose and structure of the Boy Scout program. Congress chartered the Boy Scouts of America as a corporation in 1916. The Congressional Charter states that the purpose of the corporation shall be to promote the ability of boys to do things for themselves and others, to train them in scoutcraft, and to teach them patriotism, courage, self-reliance, and kindred virtues. To fulfill this congressional mandate, the National Council has developed a program, the Boy Scout Program. This program is a set of ideals, a set of principles, set of guidelines, a set of goals, a system by which boys earn badges and move up the ladder of rank. Hopefully, this will instill the qualities that Congress asked the Boy Scouts of America to instill. But the National Council does not operate this program. This program is offered to local groups who wish to help boys in their local community to obtain these virtues and these characteristics. These local groups are churches, PTAs, and other charitable community organizations. But it's important to know who's behind these local organizations. It's the parents of these boys. It's the mothers and the fathers who wish to see Boy Scout principles instilled in their boys. So what the National Council does is they say, here is this program. If you take this program and you implement it, we think your boys will benefit. But it's your job to pick the leaders that you want to lead your boys. And it's your job to pick which portions of this program you want to emphasize, which portions you want to focus on. Now, we expect you to run this program consistent with Boy Scout ideals, but it is your program to run. We do not control your program for you.
If that's the way it is, why does the Boy Scouts National Organization keep a list? People who should not be scoutmasters.
The purpose of that, Your Honor, is to provide a central registry so that the local organizations have a place where they can go for information. The name of this service is called the Registration Service. It's a program resource that the National Council provides so that the local people, the moms and dads in the communities, have a place to go to get information where it's been determined that a particular person is unfit.
But can a council hire, or a local organization hire one of those people anyway and still be affiliated with the Boy Scouts?
The answer to that question, Your Honor, is no. The Congressional Charter states that the Boy Scouts of America has an exclusive right to use the program, the emblems, the designations, etc. Given that exclusive right, the National Council has to have some control over how the program is used. An example would be if a parent group got together and chartered, was given a charter, and it turned out that this parent group was all Nazis, and they started running a little Nazi troop. That is not consistent with the congressional mandate. It's not consistent with Boy Scout ideals. And the National Council would have the right to withdraw the charter from that troop and say, if you want to be Nazis, that's fine, you can go be Nazis, but just don't call yourself Boy Scouts when you do it.
And the same would have been true if Estes had been on this national registry list.
Yes, Your Honor.
So if Estes had been on the list, that scout troop would have been defunct or no longer affiliated with the Boy Scouts. If the church had hired Estes knowing that Estes was on this list.
If the church had hired him knowing he was unqualified and insisted that he be the scoutmaster, the National Council would be within its rights to ultimately withdraw that charter.
Does the National Council or the local council issue the troop charter?
It's a two-step process. It first goes through the local council and then to the National Council.
But the National Council does issue the troop charter.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And if the troop, at the time the troop charter application hit, it indicated that the person's name on that list was there, then that charter would have been denied, could be denied. Not issued.
Ordinarily the charter is issued first. So then registration form would come through for the particular leader that chartered organization wanted to use. The form is simply passed through the local and then passed to the national. At neither stage does the local or the national approve of that leader. That leader is chosen by the parents and the community leaders who run that.
Say they don't approve, but they do disapprove if they choose to do so.
They do tell the local organization this person is on the ineligible list. They provide that service.
But does that pull their charter then at the same time?
No, Your Honor. Unless the organization decides that they're going to ignore the fact that this person is on the ineligible list and does not meet the moral qualifications set forth in the congressional charter. And they insist that they want to run the organization that way. They may do so, but not under the name Boy Scouts.
Well, under the name Boy Scouts, my question was, do they lose their national charter if they choose to do that?
Yes.
So that's not what you said just a moment ago.
No.
You said they could go ahead, but not with their approval.
No, they can go ahead and run a program if they want with that particular person leading, but they can't call it a Boy Scout program, and they cannot use the Boy Scout program.
And their charter is canceled.
That's right.
What duty, if any, do you say your organization would have if your organization learned that a troop leader was, in fact, a pedophile?
If the National Council learned that, Your Honor?
Yes.
That person would go on the ineligible list, and his commission or his registration would be withdrawn.
Do you think that you should have any other duty under law?
No, I don't, Your Honor, because the troop leaders are selected by the moms and dads, by the parents. It's geographically and socially infeasible for the National Council to be in the business of screening, retaining, and selecting scoutmasters. There are thousands of scouting units in this country. There are over 4 million Boy Scouts and some 1 million adult volunteer leaders. This is a locally driven program, and it's a volunteer driven program. If the court will examine the annual reports that the National Council sends to Congress, there are typically 3,800 professional paid scouters. That's all. And at the national and local level combined, these scouters cannot possibly geographically screen and retain control over these scoutmasters all across the country.
If you were to get information that a potential scoutmaster was, in your view, unqualified, would you give out information as to why the scoutmaster is unqualified in the view of your organization?
The way the registration service works, Your Honor, is it's simply reported that he's on the ineligible list.
And no details are given?
That's correct.
What if an inquiry is made?
By
anyone saying, why is he on the ineligible list?
I'm sorry, what if an inquiry is made?
Yes, what information would be given out in those circumstances?
It's my understanding it's simply reported that person is ineligible.
Mr. Dolly, what if hypothetically we're talking about big brothers and sisters, and a person applies for approval as a big brother and that the organization, the staff for Big Brothers and Sisters fails to do a reasonable investigation to determine whether this person has a criminal record for pedophilia. Is there any duty owed when that pedophile ultimately assaults a little brother in the organization?
That's where it gets to the fact that the program is locally driven, locally controlled, and volunteer driven. The church, in this case, that chartered the troop is the organization responsible for screening and selecting the scoutmaster, and that's where the ultimate responsibility would lie.
So there would be, in my hypothetical, there would be a duty of ordinary care under those circumstances, but it would only be as against the organization who actually has a right of control?
That's correct, Your Honor. And the example I would give is in the Dope versus Boys Club of Greater Dallas case. The volunteer in that case was retained by the organization that ran the club. That would be analogous. The corresponding organization in this case is the church that ran the troop.
The Court of Appeals opinion, as I read it, held that a fact issue had not been negated as to your client solely on the issue of respondeat superior with regard to your responsibility for what the local council did. And I see both briefs, the argument from both sides as to why that's right or wrong goes off on procedural more than substantive. Is that correct? You have an appendix of a number of cases about your lack of liability for what a local council does, but none of those cases from other states go to your liability or lack of liability for what, I mean, your cases are to what the local chapter does, the church or the school, not to your responsibility on the council. And you say that this respondeat superior was not pled. The respondents say that it was your burden to negate it as a on summary judgment, but it was purely a defensive issue on your part, and you didn't bring it up and negate it, and so it's still in the case. Are we going to be left to deciding this critical issue purely on who's right procedurally, or will we?
No, there is also a substantive basis, Your Honor. At least one of the cases I cite in the appendix, and I can't remember which one it is, or maybe it's a case cited in the brief itself, but it's a case where the court held that the National Council was not liable for slander committed by an official of the local council, precisely because the local council was not the agent of the National Council. The second reason I would say that there's a substantive basis is I think this is akin to a parent corporation and a subsidiary corporation. The parent is not responsible for the conduct of the subsidiary, just like the national here is not responsible for the conduct of the local council.
If the national organization had learned that a pedophile had indeed become a troop leader of a local troop, and even though they learned of that information and maintained his name on the list, had not undertaken the next step, that is to disenfranchise the local organization, and a parent perceiving that this was a Boy Scout-sponsored troop, would there be any liability under those circumstances? Would you have breached any duty?
If it came solely to the national's attention and no one else's in the national airport and took no step further
right,
steps
if you knew this was a pedophile, this was a troop leader, and you didn't act, would you have breached any duty to the child?
In that instance, arguably, there would be a duty because the national was the only party holding that information, if I understand your
hypothetical. What, in your view, gives rise to the duty to put someone on an ineligible list? What kind of information would you have that, in your view, would rise to the level where you say this person is ineligible?
There are a few certain instances where something flagrantly against the Boy Scout principles comes to the attention of somebody at the local level and is transmitted to national, or somehow through the organization and is transmitted to national. An example would be someone who's an avowed atheist. The Boy Scouts is based on the principle that a scout has reverence for God. Another example would be an avowed homosexual. As the court is probably aware, there are cases in other court systems where this is an issue that's arising, and the Boy Scouts unashamedly say we have the right to exclude someone like that from this particular organization.
Do you think that your organization has a duty to investigate if facts put you on notice that there's some question about a potential scoutmaster as to whether they're pedophile? In other words, if you had received the same information directly that's in the record in this case, this gentleman was messing with boys, do you think you would have a duty to investigate under those circumstances to determine whether this person should go on ineligible for that?
Ordinarily not, Your Honor. The information would go down to the local level to be investigated at that level. That's my understanding how the program would work.
Do you have a duty to follow up and find out what the outcome is, but you can determine whether that person stays on or off your list?
I don't think so, Your Honor. It's the local's responsibility, or rather the troop's responsibility, to select and monitor and retain and screen some leaders.
Mr. Stahl, you make an argument in regards to the national organization, but does your argument also extend to Golden State Council, or do you differ from Golden State Council?
The argument is saying, essentially, Your Honor, that the local council is not the one that retains the control over the details of the work of the local troops.
But how can that possibly be defended? Here we have an individual who had molested boys while the boys were in a Boy Scout troop. The matter was investigated by the Golden Spread Council, albeit perhaps shoddy investigation, but at least they were on notice. Are you taking the position that neither the national organization nor Golden Spread Council owed any duty to the parents or to the church that sponsored this Boy Scout troop to let them know that the person they were about to hire as scoutmaster was a pedophile or had been, there were complaints that he had molested boys? Is that your argument?
In this case, it is, Your Honor, and I've got several points to make on that. First of all, there's no evidence in the record that the Golden Spread Council undertook to supply information to the church about the candidate.
Of course, they didn't volunteer the information that the Boy Scout, that the person, Mr. Esther, the person you're about to hire as scoutmaster has this series of complaints, which we're concerned about, and you should be too. They didn't tell them that.
No, and that comes to my second point.
And you're saying that they had no duty to tell them that?
No, and the reason I say that, Your Honor, is that the district council that offered Mr. Estes' name to the church, at least two of the members of that council were initially the ones who brought the allegations to the attention of the Golden Spread Council. So it was two volunteers on the district council who originally raised the allegations. It was that district council that then recommended Mr. Estes, or not recommended, offered his name to the church.
Say the district council, this was a subdivision of the local council. This is one of the districts within the local council that has their own governing board.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And it was, and the discussion here about who was making the recommendation, it was this sub-district, I mean this district level, that made that recommendation, and on that board served two of the people who made the complaints to their council.
Yes, Your Honor.
So let me see if I'm clear. You're saying then that nobody had a duty to the parents of these boys? At least none of the people that were sued had a duty.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I think another factor that has to weigh in this is Justice Gamage's statement in Byrd versus Webster, that false accusations of child abuse, sexual abuse, can be devastating. The local council official did look into this and took it as far as he could without, in balancing, I think he took it as far as he could.
Any other questions? Thank you, Timothy. The court is ready to hear argument from counsel for Golden Spread Council for 3 minutes. Well, I know it's up, but it's up because we have so many questions.
Okay.
So We're extending the time.
May it please the court, just two quick points that I want to make, and that is, first of all, in this factual scenario, neither the Boy Scouts of America nor the Golden Spread Council introduced the scout to the scoutmaster. The facts in the case established that they had had a relationship for several years before either one of them became involved in the scouting program. And in fact, the illicit sexual relationship occurred more than 18 months before either one of them ever became a member of Boy Scouts of America.
But they continued in the scouting program.
They both happened to join the scouting program, but the sexual relationship had occurred 18 months before.
But there was an incident.
There was one incident after they joined a new scout troop when the scoutmaster walked up and touched the young man and said he was going to have to get a physical and the doctor was going to touch him there. That was the only incident that occurred after they were in the scouting program. The facts in this case do not support a cause of action to recover monetary damages for sexual molestation. The facts that the respondent in this case is simply trying to take the facts that exist and use them to their advantage or mold them to create a cause of action for sexual molestation, because the molestation had nothing to do with scouting program. The second point is, and Mr. Stolle's touched on it, that for the scouting program to work, we've got to rely on the grassroots system. You would not want a national council in Irving, Texas to dictate how the program's going to be operated across the United States. We have scout troops from Anchorage, Alaska to the Florida Keys, from Maine to Hawaii. And for the people in Irving to sit there and dictate as to telling people in Anchorage, Alaska as to whether the scouts have to earn a merit badge in sailing is not appropriate.
That's not this case. This case is about who has a duty, if anyone, of screening people like Mr. Estes.
And that duty lies with a sponsoring organization which sponsors the unit, the scout troop in this case. And in this case, Methodist Church in Arlo, Texas, which was granted the charter to sponsor a new troop, it had the duty to screen the applicants for their adult leadership positions.
They were the people in the entity you represent, Golden Spread Council, had information that Mr. Estes had had a series of complaints with regards to sexual molestation. Is that correct? The people in your organization had that information.
This information was brought to an employee of the Golden Spread Council by two scouting coordinators, a lady named Mrs. Charles Hearn and a lady named Marilyn Reynolds. They were the scouting coordinator, which they are people who operate in a liaison capacity between the Golden Spread Council and the troop to see if there's anything that the council can do for the troop or anything that the troop needs from the council. They're volunteers, they're adult volunteers. In this situation, they happen to be women. These two women, Mrs. Marilyn Reynolds and Mrs. Charles Hearn, heard rumors that there had been inappropriate activity between the scout and the assistant scoutmaster at that time. They took that information to the Golden Spread Council. The council tried to gather additional information to support the rumors, could not develop any additional evidence, and decided there was nothing to it and let it drop.
Did they have a duty to investigate the allegations?
They tried to investigate. They asked.
No, I'm asking more generally. Did they have a duty? Legal duty to investigate?
I think after the information was brought to them, certainly they had a duty to investigate it, because they didn't want any activity going on in the troop that conflicted with the principles of the Boy Scouts of America.
Your argument is then that they discharged what legal duty they had by conducting the investigation.
They tried to gather additional evidence to support it, and nothing was presented. They invited the parents of the scout troop to come forward with the evidence. In fact, several appointments were made with some of these parents, and they never kept the appointments.
And so they legally, and I'm not talking factually about your case, but you would say then they discharged whatever legal duty they had to investigate.
They conducted an investigation now. They invited people who supposedly had the evidence.
But we're not really interested in the facts here.
I understand.
If it's a party, they answer that question. Is it, as a matter of law, you say they had a duty once this information came. So if they'd done nothing, if nobody at the Golden Spread Council had done anything after this information had been transmitted to them, then you would say that the plaintiff would have made out a case.
At that point in time. But the point in time that the plaintiffs are complaining about,
well,
came
let's set the temporal problem
okay
as well. Just in the abstract, in another part of the country, if information of a problem with a local scoutmaster or assistant comes to the attention of the council, and they do absolutely nothing, and then later an injury results, then that does make out a, that would stay a factual claim against the council.
They're, in all situations, Your Honor, they're relying upon the sponsoring organization to conduct that investigation to determine whether the individual is fit or unfit and to pass that information on to the council. So the council is still relying upon the adult volunteers out there in the field who
are... So your answer is no, the council doesn't have any duty once it receives such information to do anything.
It, and in this situation, it passed it back to the adult. It does not have a duty, Your Honor.
You're saying
if they got the, if they got the information like this and done nothing, they got information that a scoutmaster was a potential murderer, and they did. They passed that along to nobody, and then a murder result. They have no. There's no. You cannot state a cause of action in a court against a council.
In that situation, I think you could state a cause of action, Your Honor. But again,
but not in pedophilia. I'm just very confused.
They're
We're just trying a very basic question, whether you can have any duty at all under any circumstances.
When that information is brought to them, they rely upon the volunteers back in the field, and they have a duty to that, and they did that in this case.
But they have a duty to report it back to the volunteers.
They did, and or to complete their investigation, yes, Your Honor. They have a duty to complete their investigation.
Well, if they complete the investigation, they decide what they took.
Exactly. They could
they
not.
They took the volunteer information and decided what anything to it.
And
invited, that was what ended it.
Yes, sir, and invited additional evidence to be presented if they could come up with anything. And it was these same two volunteers who initially came to them with the information who ultimately, when Estes made application to become scoutmaster of the new troop, had responsibility for passing upon Estes' qualifications at that time. And Estes' application for scoutmaster of the new troop, Troop 223 is in the record, and you'll see on the face of that application, it's signed by Marilyn Reynolds, the scouting coordinator, who was one of the two women who first took this, these rumors to the district council. She ultimately, when was the burden was placed back on her to approve or reject Estes as a scoutmaster of the new troop, equipped with the information that she had about these rumors, found Estes to be a suitable applicant and approved his application and passed it on to the council for his approval.
So was she the liaison that you were?
She was the liaison. She signed it as a scouting coordinator. She's
so she
an
was
adult
a,
volunteer.
A volunteer but for GST?
She is a volunteer in the Golden Spread Council within the council.
So she was your agent?
No, she's a volunteer.
But carrying out the activities of GST?
And the local troops as well.
What is GSD's duty if they are told unequivocally that this person has molested a child that you can't get any further details? What is your duty in those circumstances?
The Golden Spread Council has an obligation to pass that information on to the chartered organization who has initially had responsibility for the approval of that individual to investigate the situation. I think the council would also have the obligation to pass that information on to the national council so that if the council finds that the evidence is substantiated, he may be listed on the list of ineligible volunteers. But again, the council's got to rely upon the parents and the adults back there in the field, and so I think it's their responsibility to share that with those people out there to investigate.
Just as a parent, doesn't the Golden State Council have an obligation, the parents, the children, and the troop, to give them the same information that you have and let them make their own investigation?
And in this situation, they were inviting those parents to come forward with the evidence, and there was no evidence to substantiate it. And as Mr. Stolle has said...
Which parents? Were the parents of the scouts themselves in this troop advised?
Charles Hearn, the scoutmaster of Troop 22, is the one who... It occurred on a camp out. Charles Hearn overheard some boys talking that the assistant scoutmaster and the scout had been messing around. Charles Hearn took this information back to his wife, who was the scout coordinator, who in turn then took the information to the Golden Spirit Council. So it came from the top authority in that particular scout
troop. Did it go back down the chain to the parents of the scouts in the troop?
And the Golden Spread Council conducted an investigation to see if there was evidence to substantiate it. They relied upon the people out in the field to gather that information for them.
I mean, you're following up on that. I'm sorry, I know your time's up, but let's talk about this district. Did the sponsoring group propose Mr. Estes as a scoutmaster that was then not rejected by the council? Or did the district provide Mr. Estes's name to the sponsoring group as one person recommended to be their scoutmaster? What happened?
It was not one person recommended. When the sponsoring organization was looking for a scoutmaster of the new troop that they were forming, the district commissioner introduced Mr. Estes to the council, chartered organization, which was the Methodist Church. And they relied upon the Methodist Church then. It was the church and the minister of that church who had to sign Estes' application approving him. So there was no recommendation.
No one from your organization sounded the alarm or put him on notice that there was a possible problem.
But the people that...
And you're saying you had no duty to do so.
The people that he was introduced back to were the same people who had come to us with the rumors in the first place. It was Marilyn Reynolds and Mrs. Charles Hearn were two of the people that the introduction was made back to for Estes to be considered as a candidate for scoutmaster of the new troop.
Is your argument that you had no duty to share that information with the pastor who was looking for a scoutmaster? For them to make their own investigation and make a judgment.
It was the duty of the scout, of the pastor and the church troop committee and the scouting coordinators to investigate the qualifications of this individual.
I'm focusing on what was your duty to share the information with the people that had some responsibility to the parents of getting a scoutmaster who was not a pedophile.
Two of those people who were investigating Estes' qualifications to serve as scoutmaster
were your agents.
Were the two people who came to us with the information. They had as much information, if not more, than we did.
They were your agents, were they not?
They are volunteers who act in a liaison position, conduit of information between the council and the chartered organization and the scout troop. We have no right to control those people in the details of their work.
But you could blackball Mr. Estes if you wanted to.
We could not blackball Mr. Estes.
Put him on that registry list. Put him on the list of unacceptable persons.
The Boy Scouts of America could have put him on the list of ineligible volunteers.
On your recommendation?
No. The information is from the council is passed on to the Boy Scouts of America, and whether the Boy Scouts of America chooses to put him on their list of ineligible volunteers or not is up to the Boy Scouts and their criteria as to who ends up on that list. But
they don't do an investigation. They rely on the local authorities, as you're saying that they should.
Everybody is relying upon the parents out there in the field who have direct access to the applicant, to interview him, to conduct whatever investigation they feel is appropriate to determine his qualifications.
Do you think you have a duty to tell your liaisons to share what information they had with the sponsoring organization?
No, the liaisons knew, and if they were concerned about his qualifications, then we feel that they should not have approved him for scoutmaster of the new troop. They had as much information as we did, if not more.
But the bottom line is, after the liaison people made their report and no further information came in, then nothing was done to send to the National Council any information that would cause them to put him on the list.
For the very reasons Mr. Stolle has quoted from your recent case, that the innuendos of this that are not substantiated or supported can have devastating effects on that adult for the remainder of his life. And there was no evidence to support it, so the information was not passed on.
Any other questions? Thank you. The court is ready to hear argument from the respondent.
May I please the court, Mr. Richard Cowdes will present argument for the respondent.
May it please the court. I must confess to considerable puzzlement. Petitioner's brief takes the unqualified position that they have no duty. I'm sorry. Petitioner's brief takes the unqualified
position. Which brief? There's two briefs.
Both briefs. Petitioner's S apostrophe takes the unqualified position that they have no duty to these respondents. Today, in argument, under intense questioning from this court, both have admitted that they may have some duties, in fact, do have some duties, but they just don't have any duties under this situation. Now, here's what they argued in their brief. In essence, what they were telling this court, what they are telling this court in their briefs is, it's better to have a child molester in your organization than it is a drunk. Because if you send a drunk out in public, you may have a duty that may end in a very substantial judgment against you. But if you send a child molester out in public, that's just okay, because we don't have any duty and we don't have any responsibility for what happens. That's what they argue in their briefs when you examine those briefs. But what you heard today, I think, is what the law is and where this case must go.
Isn't it a little easier, though, in Washington County, as far a group to determine whether or not whether someone's a drunk than just whether or not they're a pedophile?
Justice Hightower, I don't know. Certainly there are some obvious signs of drunkenness that may not be present with a pedophile. But investigation is the key to it, of course. And if the information is there that would indicate the danger, then the red flag is waving, and it's time to look into it.
I want to explore that with you. What exactly do you think the duty should be, and how far should the investigation should extend? Because I think we all recognize that there's a balancing problem here between slandering or libeling someone unjustifiably, labeling a pedophile on sketchy information. What, balancing these things, what specifically do you say the duty should be? How far should it extend? On what kind of information is someone obligated to act?
Let me say first that had a proper investigation been conducted in this matter, there would have been no libel and slander, because Mr. Estes is in the penitentiary for the things he did in connection with this situation and others. So that would not have been a concern with a proper investigation. Now, what is the duty?
Well, just to stop you right there, does that mean they have to conduct the same kind of investigation as the police department and the district attorney?
Certainly.
That's what put him in the pen, not somebody who is a volunteer walking up and down the street asking questions.
Yes, and I think when you're talking about something this serious, it requires an intense investigation.
Well, the difference, though, is that the police can compel you to ask questions, or to answer questions, or take you before a grand jury and require you to answer questions, or as a volunteer for a do-good organization, really can't.
Well, yes, that is correct. But a report to the police, had that been done, then that would have allowed the police to go ahead. Mr. Roseburg could have called the police department and said, we have this report, we don't have any idea whether it's true or not, please investigate it and let us know.
All right, so this tails back into the question, which is, how do you balance that with the liability of the estimation?
Well, the only thing that I know that can be done is that it be investigated, and this was not investigated. Now, I know of no liability that will result. If I, as a scoutmaster or a scout executive, am told by someone, well, you've got a scoutmaster out there who is a pedophile.
Well, liability might not result, but you might have the honor of a trial, wouldn't you?
I guess we all face that possibility in everything we do, Your Honor. But as a scout executive, I think the first step I would take is to talk to the people involved. If I determine that there is any possibility that this may have some merit, then I take it to the police department and proceed from there. Now, look carefully at the record on the investigation that was conducted here, because counsel would have you believe that some sort of thorough investigation was made, and as a result of that, everything was okay. Well, a thorough investigation was not made because, in fact, the illegal activities were occurring. They were not uncovered. I think what you will discover is that Mr. Roseborough told one of his employees, to whom this was first reported, go back and talk to the people and see if you can get any details.
and then we'll make a full investigation. And that's quoted directly from his affidavit that is attached to one of the briefs. His executive or his employee went back and talked to the people, and they were not particularly cooperative. They did not seem to want to talk about it, perhaps for the very reason, Justice Owen, that you're suggesting.
So at that point, given the state of the record, they were told that this person was messing with some boys. They go and try to get names, more information. They're unable to do so. At that point, what further duty, if any, do they have?
Well, the only thing that was done, as I understand the record, was that this employee went back to these people and said, give me some names, tell me what you know in detail, and they wouldn't give him any names. He reports this back to the head executive, the GSC head executive in that area. GSC executive decides, well, this is just a feud between these families, so I'm not going to investigate it any further.
What further should they have done? That's my specific question.
Well,
given these facts, what further steps should have been taken in your view?
He could have first called the people in himself, said, look, I'm the head executive here. You've made a very serious accusation. I want to know the facts. Are you going to give me any facts? Do you have any facts to support this?
Assuming they got no additional facts,
right,
what else?
Then the next step could have been to either hire a private investigator or go to the police department and say, look, these accusations have been made. I am dealing with young boys, and I cannot afford to take any chances. I would ask that the police department investigate. That was an additional step. These are all, I mean, this is going to be a situational thing, depending on the circumstances. But remember that we're dealing with a summary judgment. Remember that these petitioners' duty was to negate, as a matter of law, negligence. That was one.
Under the state of this record, are you advocating that, given what GSC knew at that point, that it had some duty to the parents of the child in this case at that point in time?
Yes, ma'am.
What duty do you say that?
Their duty was to conduct a complete investigation, not just to send one employee back to the people, say, tell me what you know, and when they say, well, we can't talk about it, we're not going to talk about it, we won't tell you anymore.
But I take it to that you're not advocating that they go directly to the parents of this child and say, we've got information, here's what we have.
They didn't know at that point which children were involved. They simply had the general
statement. They went to all the parents. Do you think they would have been justified at that point in time in going to the parents of the scouts and truth and saying, we don't know if this is true or not, we can't substantiate it, but here's what we've been told. So that has been justified.
Yes, I think it would have. Yes, ma'am. I think that given the kind of conduct we're talking about, that a proper investigation very well could involve a conversation with the various parents saying, do you have any indication that anything improper is occurring at these scout meetings?
And you would not be interested in taking the case of a potential scout leader who has been falsely accused, who ultimately it turned out was falsely accused under such a scenario?
Well, again, we're talking about fact-specific situations. There will be circumstances where it may be proper to go a long way. There will be circumstances where it may be proper to go a short distance. But the fact
well,
remains
here, there's that a report that is pretty devoid of details, and you're saying that the minimum duty, I mean the duty to escape a summary judgment, extends to, and you were outlining what they should have done.
Yes.
And I'm asking you if that same duty that you say is a minimum duty had been done in another situation where it ultimately turned out the person wasn't in prison, it was in fact somebody who was the victim of a vendetta or family feud, would there not be a possibility of this organization exposing itself to liability?
Yes, I think there is certainly that possibility. Yes, Your Honor.
False arrest or slander or
those, yes, that is a possibility, but this is where we get into the balancing.
But in that balance, we're supposed to do.
Yes.
I mean, in setting out this standard, and that's going to lead into my next question, which is what are you looking at for this, for the erection of this duty? Are you looking at restatement, this areas that we have specifically adopted that have touched on? Or?
Yes, I think perhaps well, it depends on which standard you're referring to.
Following on Justice Owen's question, we're just looking at Golden Spread Council for now. And then I hit the
I understand that, and my concentration also is on Golden Spread Council, Your Honor. And certainly, I'm not conceding anything on the other defendant, but I think certainly the strongest
My
case
question is, how do any of the arguments you're making about the council apply to cause the BSA to have liability under this same scenario with absolutely no knowledge of what happened at the local area? What is the theory that you would say causes them to be liable?
Right. If BSA is liable, it is under some kind of respondeat superior theory.
And what evidence, if any, is there that was in the response to show that there's a enough connection between the national organization and the council to make them an agent?
Well,
aren't you arguing there's no principal agent relationship whatsoever in this case?
We are not relying on a principal agent relationship.
What else can they be then?
There's
no alter ego, is there?
No alter ego.
How does the Boy Scouts get involved under your argument?
What was pled was that the Golden Spread Council is controlled by the Boy Scouts of America, that it's a conduit through which the information is passed on to
but
the Boy Scouts.
But they didn't pass it on.
Well, I realize that, but they had the responsibility to pass it on.
GSA did.
Yes, yes, sir.
Or GSC.
Golden Spread Council, yes.
And so GSC. They failed in their duty, then that makes BSA liable.
Yes. That is
because
the theory.
Because what they didn't know hurts them.
That is the theory that was pled, and that's the theory that was adopted by the Court of Appeals. As far as summary judgment proof.
And I thought the Court of Appeals kind of said, well, we think it's really kind of an analogous to a negligent hiring situation. Therefore, if you've got a bad apple, your real duty is you have to get rid of it.
They
so
also
the question use. There is, how can they get rid of a bad apple if they don't know about it?
Well, they used that analogy on one aspect of the case, but they came back to the respondeat superior, and what they said was if GSC
is liable.
But
now they say that wasn't pled.
No, it was pled. It was pled that the GSC was a creature, a creation, or element, I've forgotten the exact words,
uh-huh.
Let's see, I've got them right here somewhere, of the Boy Scouts, and consequently that the Boy Scouts were responsible for anything the GSC did. That's what the pleading was. They didn't use the word respondeat superior, but the facts were pled in such a way that conclusion was present or could be drawn. Now, as I understand summary judgment law, it was the movement's duty to negate the respondeat superior language, that is, to negate the allegation that GSC was controlled by the Boy Scouts. What you will find when you look at the record is a lot of discussion about how these various organizations are chartered, but I have not seen any evidence that negates the nature of the relationship in that context. If it's there, I certainly have not seen it. So that's the theory as far as Boy Scouts are concerned.
Let me just ask you, is the Scoutmaster always the parent?
Not as far as I know. I'm not aware of any requirement of that nature. I'm sure opposing counsel can get more.
Is it usually a parent?
Usually a parent, I think, yes.
Getting back to the balancing on the duty that you say is owed by Golden Spread Council, you were about to get in. You said that's where the balancing comes in. And obviously what we're trying to decide is if any duty is owed, and if so, how you do balance these competing interests. Let's assume then that we have essentially the facts here that an allegation is made, as Chief Justice Phillips said, a sketchy one. What duty is there from that point? And let's assume that some investigation is made, but no further facts are uncovered. Where do you go from there?
Well, the problem is always, what is a sufficient investigation? The duty, well, let me move back a step first.
Do they go to the parents and suggest that this person has been accused of pedophilia when they have no concrete facts?
Well, I think that as part of the investigation, they can inquire. They don't have to suggest. They can simply inquire.
How do you inquire without suggesting?
Has John Doe ever been molested by any of your children?
I understand. You could be in your wife. But certainly, it's a delicate thing. But you've got to remember what's at stake here. You've got young men who could be damaged for life. Certainly, the balance on the other side is a scoutmaster who could be damaged for life. So it calls for intelligence, it calls for discretion, it calls for a lot of very careful things that were not done in this case.
What kinds of things should be investigated? Suppose the, some allegation that the troop master had used drugs in the past.
Well, you can investigate by my observation, just drugs.
I mean, should you investigate that?
Certainly. I think you should investigate anything that is reported that is contrary to the charter of the Boy Scouts.
He said he believed in not paying federal income taxes because we weren't on the gold standard anymore. You should investigate that. It is a felon.
That gets, you know, if that's what the scoutmaster is indicating to his charges, yes, because...
If he were living with someone without benefit of marriage, that might be something.
Again, that's a violation of the basic charter.
And if he'd done it in the past, wasn't doing it now.
Perhaps if it's being advocated to the young men as a proper moral standard.
Mr. Countess, we've been talking about this duty to investigate. One of my concerns is, regardless of the investigation, the council, the Golden Spread Council, apparently had at least a red flag wave, and that the people that were bringing forth this allegation on behalf of the council make a recommendation to the sponsoring group, if not an outright recommendation, at least an introduction of the potential scoutmaster to them, knowing that these complaints have been made about that individual. You've been focusing on this duty. Is it your position that the posture of this case is that there was a duty to investigate which was negligently performed and that was the causation? You're not, or is that really what your case is?
Yes, Mr. Sink, I think that's where this case is.
Okay, then in that regard, let me ask you this. You have a circumstance where the child already knows about the propensities of this assistant master. What duty is there on behalf of the council to investigate these allegations in order to develop information that they can convey to someone who already knows it? I mean, what duty is there for the Golden Spread Council to advise a person who's attending Scoutmaster that there's an event going on here of which that child already knows? I mean, that child was invited by Estes to join the troop that Estes went to. The child was, what, 10?
Yes, somewhere
at the time. What duty does the council have to find out facts that the child already knows?
Well, the duty is to get the scoutmaster out of the environment with the children, if in fact the scoutmaster is a pedophile. Certainly, in the weighing process in front of a jury, those prior incidents are going to be a factor. The very thing that you're concerned about is going to be a factor in front of the jury. But at least two events occurred as a direct result of this man being a scoutmaster. They would not have occurred if the investigation had been made and his application to be a scoutmaster had been rejected because the investigation had revealed those prior incidents had in fact occurred.
You say that. We don't. You're assuming that. Again, my question is, given the real world situation, we don't know the duty to, or that investigation would have done anything. And there are situations where the investigation itself can cause irreparable harm to someone who's not a pedophile.
Yes.
Again, you just keep saying duty to investigate, but you don't put any parameters around it for us to do what you admit must be done, and that's balance the respective rights.
And I guess I don't know how to answer the question, because there must be a duty to investigate. Even opposing counsel admit that once information comes to their attention, they have some kind of duty to move. They obviously don't go as far as I do.
The only case you cite to us specifically for this is a dissenting opinion from an intermediate court, an appellate court from a state smaller than Texas. I think we're all struggling with how do they articulate the duty? And can you give us a little more help? Because this does not fit into, and you admit it doesn't fit into any of the areas you analogize, like negligent hiring.
Well, and my response is, when the event is brought to the attention of someone in responsibility, going to spread counts of Boy Scouts, wherever it is, the duty arises. That's the first step. There is a duty to investigate that something may be going on.
What is the basis of that duty? Given the general law that there is no responsibility to third parties absent a special relationship, how do we get over that hump?
And Justice Gonzalez, I think that your opinion in Greater Houston Transportation is the guideline for that. In two paragraphs, you outline the parameters of this duty area. You do the balancing factor. You look at the risk, foreseeability, and likelihood of injury weighed against social utility, magnitude of the burden, consequences of placing the burden on the defendant. Then you move down and you talk about the general rule, no duty to control the conduct of third persons unless there is a special relationship. There is a special relationship here. It's created by the charter of these various organizations. The Boy Scouts of America and their charter say that they are going to investigate, and they specifically say in affidavit that they have the right that they have the right to approve, and that they are going to approve or disapprove scoutmasters. And the third council say no question about it. If you've got a bad person wanting to be scoutmaster, that person will not be approved. So, and the same with, of course, the Golden Spread Council. So you've got the special relationship. That, to me, is where the duty comes from, within the parameters that you outline in the Greater Houston case. Now, what this court keeps coming back to me on is what kind of duty is it, or what kind of investigation is to be conducted. And the difficulty is, in my answering that, is that it depends on the circumstances. It is a situational event. If I am the Golden Spread Chief Executive for Amarillo, and someone comes to me and says, this scoutmaster out here is messing with the boys, then I have a duty, and that duty is to pursue that until a reasonable person would be satisfied that there is no merit to the allegation or that there is merit.
And your contention is only a jury can decide that?
Yes.
You're saying that in the summary judgment context, sufficient facts have been pledged for a fact finder to make that determination as to whether or not there was a breach of that limited duty?
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. And the record itself indicates what was done, and a reasonable person could conclude that what was done was not sufficient.
And when you say Boy Scouts or wherever, you mean the Boys and Girls Clubs and YMCA?
Yes, I
And churches?
It makes me nervous to venture beyond my own case, but I understand you're writing law for the state.
The same rule would apply to churches who had camps where kids went, and schools, little leagues, wherever you have this situation arise, that would be the duty.
I would have to give a general and qualified yes to that. In a very nervous fashion. But yes,
well,
I can't
write a rule. Of
course, I understand that.
Any other questions? Thank you.
I came here today expecting difficult questions because it's a difficult issue. And I think the way out of this dilemma is to look at it like this. In a series of cases, the Union Pump versus Albritton and the Doe case, the court has talked about the fact that proximate cause can sometimes be too attenuated to constitute legal cause. In another case, Syntec Realty versus Siegler, this court talked about the fact that duty can sometimes be too attenuated.
Counsel, you did not bring any points on that. The Court of Appeals held against you on those points, and you did not preserve error on those points.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor, and I'm not arguing approximate cause. I'm just talking about the progression of the idea of attenuation. And that idea has moved into the duty cases as well, the Syntec Realty case. In that case, the real estate management company, unqualified, I believe, had the ability to control security. If they wanted to elect a majority of the board members of that condominium association, they could have done anything they wanted to. But this court said that
that power, that ability was too attenuated to create a duty. Similar situation here is the National Council has the congressional mandate to protect the Boy Scout program, protect that emblem and the exclusive right to use the program. But that duty is too attenuated to create, that power is too attenuated to create a duty at the local level to screen and retain troop masters. An example I would give, and I think this explains, this rebuts the, Mr. Countess's answer that there is a special relationship. An analogous situation would be the Board of Medical Examiners. Does an investigation of the qualifications and the moral background of a candidate for a medical license, and they miss something. They miss someone who's a pedophile or a sexual abuser. That person gets a license, later goes out and does something immoral, illegal. The Board of Medical Examiners is not responsible for what that person did just because the Board of Medical Examiners has certain criteria for the granting of a license to that person. Similarly, the Boy Scouting program contemplates that scoutmasters and volunteers throughout the whole system will have certain criteria and meet certain guidelines. But that doesn't make the Boy Scouts of America, the National Council, responsible when that person later goes on and does some self-gratifying immoral conduct. What the Boy Scouts program is a blueprint. The National Council has provided a blueprint that parents and local organizers can use to try to instill these values in boys, but it's up to those local organizations to decide exactly how to use that blueprint. The National Council has the right to expect a certain end product, but does not control the details of how the local organizations get to that end product.
If the local council receives a report that admittedly raises concerns for the local council, does the local council have any duty with respect to that report? Does that create any duty on the part of the local council? Anything with that information?
I believe it would create the duty on the part of the local organization to have the local group that sponsored the trip to look into this, at least pass on that information so that they can look into it.
When you say the local group, does that go beyond simply the district board that is a part affiliated with the council? Does that mean you go to the Methodist Church that sponsors them and say, you look into this?
Yes, I think that's right.
So there is, having gotten this information, there is some duty to do something, and that is to go to the sponsoring group and have them deal with it.
Unless, as in this instance, the local council did the investigation itself and dealt with it.
Then, do you not agree with Mr. Countess that having had a duty come into play, then what we measure is the reasonableness of the conduct having had that information?
Once the duty is created, the question becomes breach of the duty. Yes, sir. But it all goes back to the parameters of that duty.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument in the third clause. The court will take another brief recess.
Good morning, Mr. Rudd.